KKK program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. You know, I always say we've got a great show planned for you, and it's because I do believe I make an effort to try to give you a variety of topics that I think everybody's interested in. We've got a fan favorite on during the first hour, and that's none other than Brooks Kubik, the keeper of the physical culture flame. And we're going to be talking about shoulder strength and overhead pressing. And Brooks is going to discuss this phenomenon and the importance of it, and also some amazing feats of strength in this area. Later in the show, we're going to have author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Randy Roach, and a bodybuilding legend that you probably have never heard of. I know Brooks has. Let me bring Brooks in now. Hi, Brooks. How are you?
Carl, I'm well. How are you doing today?
Great, great. Ironically, when I told you that I was having Peter Grimkowski on the show today, you knew exactly who he was because you dedicate your life to studying this sort of stuff. But I would venture to say that most people don't even know who he is. Would you agree with that?
I guess I would be surprised if that was the case. You know, Grimkowski was hot as could be a long time ago, back when I was a kid, when I was in high school. I mean, he was pretty near the top of the physical culture ladder, and Arnold and Sergio and some of the other guys were looking at him and thinking, you know, hey, is this a guy who's going to take it away from me? I mean, he was huge, not only in a physical sense, but in terms of, you know, dominating the culture for a while.
Yeah, and we're going to have a very candid interview with him that evolved as a result of what Randy Roach wrote about him in the latest volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, that I promise those of you out there who examine the bodybuilding culture from the drug use side, you will be astonished, because I thought I knew everything. And when I read this this guy's story, I was like, wow, I've never heard of anything like this before. So anyway, we'll save that for later. First, before we get started, I need to also remind everybody that Brooks Kubik is going to invade the UK with Mike Moller. You guys have a planned event where you're going to be doing a seminar there, right?
Yep, it's going to be June 9 and 10.
Right.
And, you know, we're going over to England. We're going to be doing a seminar with two of the top strength coaches in the UK, CJ Swaby and Sabina Scala. And we're going to be covering, it's a two-day program, and we're going to be covering just a variety of really cool things. You know, Mike, of course, is one of the top kettlebell experts in the world, and Mike is going to be covering kettlebells, doing, you know, all kinds of new and unique exercises and kettlebell complexes and putting it together into a program and, you know, just everything. And Mike goes around the world now doing this, and it's going to be a great program, a great event from that aspect alone. So you've got Mike doing kettlebells. CJ Swaby is going to do some old school lifts, some things that most people may never even have heard of, or if they've heard of these lifts, they don't know how to do them, and CJ is going to teach you how to do them. Sabina Scala is going to cover one of my favorites, Olympic weightlifting, and I'm going to be doing two different things. One is dinosaur dumbbell training, old school dumbbell work, not lateral raises and concentration curls and dumbbell flies and things, but the old school lifts, dumbbell swings, dumbbell clean and press, dumbbell clean and jerk, etc. And then I'm going to be covering another interesting thing that I cover in my new book, Dinosaur Bodyweight Training, progressive bodyweight exercises with a dyno spin or a dyno twist to them. And put it all together, it's going to be just a really good program. One interesting thing that we're going to do, we're keeping the group to 40 people tops.
So it's an intimate group, then, in other words. People have plenty of time to ask questions and get to know things.
Absolutely. And, in fact, it's more, it's going to be better than that. We're taking the 40 people, and we're going to break them into groups of about 10. Okay? We're going to run four groups of 10 at the same time. So Mike is going to be on one side of the gym. He's going to be working with 10 people on kettlebell training, which you know, Mike Mahler, 10 people, 2 hours, that's a lot of one-on-one and a lot of personal attention. And while he's doing that, Sabina's going to be doing Olympic weightlifting with another group of 10. I'm going to be doing dinosaur dumbbell training with another group of 10. And CJ is going to be doing old school lifts with the final group of 10. And we'll do that for 2 hours, and then we'll rotate. So everybody gets 2 hours in a group of 10 with everything that we cover. And we're going to do 2 days of that. Frankly, I'm working out as hard as I can just to get in shape to be able to do, you know, 4 2-hour programs, because that's not easy.
Well, so this seminar is actually bringing you up to speed, not only the people that will be attending it.
Well, it's really funny. It's like we're all training really hard for the, to present the program. And a lot of people in the UK are, you know, already, you can see this on Facebook. It's all over our Facebook pages. People are throwing down challenges. There's a deadlift challenge going out with a bunch of people trying to get triple body weight on the deadlift. And, you know, everyone wants to be in top form in June in the UK for this event. It's really interesting. And, it gives you an idea of how doing something, something new, drawing a line in the sand and saying on such and so date, I will be in such and so place and I will do whatever.
Right.
Okay. You just say that. You put it out there and immediately you start training harder. And it's a real interesting effect. But, you know, people are saying, you know, I had a great workout last night because I'm getting in shape for the seminar. You know, and it's 5 months away. We're not even, Mike and Brooks are not in the UK, and already people in the UK are training harder than ever.
That's amazing.
It's an amazing phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. And funny, you know, I'll tell you something, and you and I talked about this off the air. The month of September, we had quite a few groundbreaking shows as far as downloads go. The winner, the top, the number one downloaded show the month of September was Mike Mahler's Living Life Aggressively, 32,463 just for the month alone, never mind the following month and so on. The number two show, ironically, was Strong Arm Tactics, Legendary Feats of Arm Strength, plus Milk Does a Building Body Good. That was with Brooks Kubik during the first hour and Professor Dr. Andrew during the second hour, 31,593 downloads for the month. So clearly, when you put you two guys together, you have a huge following. There's a lot of people that I'm sure that are going to want to be at this seminar. Now, the idea that this is a small, intimate group, how do people get on the roster to attend?
Well, you need to go to Mike Mahler's website, www.mikemahler.com, and look at events. It's Dinosaur Training in London, and just go there and sign up through that. All of the signups are being run through Mike Mahler's website.
Okay. And so there's a total number of 40 people, right? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're it sounds trite, it sounds cliché, but they're going fast. I mean
that's what I was trying to illustrate. You two guys have the most downloaded two most downloaded shows during the month of September. Clearly, there are a lot of fans out there. Those of you who can get to the UK or live there already, you know, you have a great advantage because there's a lot of people who probably would like to attend but just can't make it there. So it's very important to all right, so we're going to go into a commercial break in a moment. Today we're going to be talking about put it over your head, shoulder strength and overhead pressing. By far, probably one of the greatest examples of overall strength. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And there was a time, 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, even into the 1950s, when the ability to lift a weight from the lifting platform to arm's length overhead was the absolute mark of strength. If you were good at it, you were a strong man. If you were not, Didn't matter what else you can do, you were not a strong man.
Well, and let's qualify that. I think that there's lots of techniques that get the bar moving and you jump beneath it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about guys who brought it up to their shoulders and then pressed it overhead, right?
Absolutely. The old school military press was the test of strength. And the old school military press begins by cleaning the weight to the shoulders, and then you pause for 2 seconds. And just think about that. That's like a 2 second pause on the bench press. And right. Everyone knows how much more difficult a paused bench press is than a touch and go.
Yeah, because you're literally stopping the momentum that you gain from bringing the bar to the shoulders, enhancing your ability to push it overhead. You're going from a dead stop now.
Absolutely, and there's no leg kick. You don't bend your knees and drive it up with leg strength. It's purely an arm and shoulder lift. Tremendous feat of upper body strength.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be talking more about this when we come back from the break with Brooks Kubik. Visit Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com, to learn more about Brooks. And, of course, Mike Mahler, MAHLER.com, to sign up for the seminar in the UK. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Your radio just got ripped.
It's Superhuman Radio.
Just a reminder, you can save an additional 15% off the already low, low prices of legitimately produced peptides from inside the United States from Tier 1 Labs when you go to Southern Research Company's website. At the checkout, use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN15, SUPERHUMAN, the number one, the number five. Check them out. We'll be right back now with Brooks Kubik, and we're going to be talking about shoulder strength and overhead pressing, which clearly was, you know, Brooks, when you think about it, it was probably called the military press because the military used it to assess the overall strength of enlisted personnel. Would you think that's true?
No.
Why was it called the military press then?
No. Called the military press because you did it in an upright military position as if you were standing at attention.
That's
the key. Now, originally, the lift is originally practiced, and this originated in Germany and Austria with the great continental strongmen, the old-time strongmen. The original way of performing the lift was with the feet together. And just think about that for a second. Feet together as opposed to shoulder width apart means that your balance is really difficult. You know, it starts to make it sound like you're standing on a wobble board or a Bosu ball or something like that. Later, they made the rules a bit more liberal and they allowed the lifters to move the feet out to shoulder width if they wanted to, 16 inches or so. And that's, of course, an easier way of doing it. But just imagine the strength and balance it would take to lift a really heavy barbell or two heavy dumbbells overhead with your heels together. Just try it sometime. I mean, it makes a huge, enormous difference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't imagine you'd be as strong, frankly.
Well, you wouldn't. You're in a much less advantageous position. You're just not as strong. The other thing that they did back in the old days, they would make you start the press slowly, and the referee, after he gave you the okay to do the press, after you paused for 2 seconds with bar at the shoulders, the referee would raise his hand slowly, and you would press at exactly the same speed as his hand as he raised his hand.
Wow.
Okay.
So he could be a real jerk and go very, very slow.
Yeah. And the one of the interesting things is that for a long time in the United States, the U.S. had not competed in international weightlifting competition. The lifters and the coaches and the trainers really didn't know what was happening. All they saw were photographs, and they read descriptions of the lifts. And everybody in the U.S. thought that the Europeans went really, really slow when they raised that finger and that everything was really strict. And so the judges in the United States, and Mark Berry was one of them, you know, we've all heard of Mark Berry, who popularized the breathing squat back in the 30s.
Right.
Mark Berry was a real stickler for the rules. And he made everybody, you know, just lift really, really, really slowly. And you know, if you weren't, you know, if you were just, you know, going a tad faster or slower than Berry's finger as he raised it up, you know, he'd turn down the lift.
Wow.
And so the records for pressing for a long time in the United States were just not that good because the judging was too strict. It was almost, we're all familiar now with super slow training.
Yes.
Slow motion training.
Yes.
Well, it was almost like people in competition were trying to do a super slow lift because they thought that's what the European judges would require. And you know, if anyone has ever tried, you know, to do a curl or a bench press or any lift, any exercise, you know, 6 seconds up, you know, you're moving really, really slow, right? And it's really difficult.
You can only use a fraction of the weight that you normally can handle.
Yeah. And so then what happened, they had the Olympic Games in Los Angeles in 1932. So the American athletes and coaches and trainers see what's really happening for the first time. And lo and behold, they were all doing everything too strictly. And so, they had to learn to start doing things European style, which meant, you know, you're not doing something artificially slow. You're doing it in strict form, but you're not disadvantaging yourself by doing it at a ridiculously slow speed.
Right.
And the result of that, in 1932, an American named Tony Terlazzo from New Jersey.
Yeah, you've talked about Tony before.
Yeah. Well, he took third place. He won a bronze medal in Los Angeles. And 4 years later, he was the first American weightlifter to win an Olympic gold medal. He won at Berlin, the famous Berlin Olympics with Jesse Owens and Hitler and all of that.
Right.
And he won, and that was the first time that an American had won a gold medal. Interestingly enough, he was an outstanding presser. He was just ferocious at the military press. He could do 240 pounds at a body weight of 148.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a strict press. And that's official results from official competition. It's not what someone says they saw at the gym one day or,
right.
You know, they saw Tony training and, you know, he lifted such and so. That's the real thing, the official deal.
Wow, that's very, very impressive. What is considered in this day? Okay, so the press we're talking about has no drive from the legs at all?
No drive from the legs at all. Now, it's important to know that as time passed, the rules on the press began to become more liberal. And the lifters started to lean back a little bit. And the judges said at first they couldn't do that. And then they started to say, well, if you lean back just a little bit, not a lot, just a little, that's okay as long as you don't move during the press. And the reason lifters tend to lean back slightly is the difficult part of the press is from the bottom to overhead. You know, the easier part is locking it out. You're obviously stronger once the bar is over your head.
Right.
And getting around your face.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the hard part, getting past your chin.
Yeah, exactly. Getting past your chin or, you know, in my case, big nose, getting past your nose. That's the problem. And if you lean back just slightly, you can push straight up and miss the chin, miss the face, and get it to that over the head where you lock out a lot easier. So when lifters started doing that, they were able to handle a lot more weight. The records kept going up. Then what you had was people started to do, they'd start with a little bit of a back bend, they'd push up strictly, and as the bar started to hit the sticking point, which for any lifter is right around eye level to the top of the head, and it varies from person to person, but yeah, you know, somewhere around
is
there.
Is that partially because of the geometry of the shoulders themselves?
Well, it's the geometry of the shoulders and the triceps. It's the length of the arm. You know, it's the point where your arms are bent about as much as possible.
Okay.
Okay, and, you know, the triceps are fighting to keep it going at exactly the point where the weight is the heaviest. It's very similar to the sticking point in a strict bench press.
Right, right.
So what the lifters started to do, they'd been leaning back very, very slightly, and you know, I want to emphasize slightly, not one of these back bends where it looks like they're doing the limbo. Okay. As the bar hits the sticking point, they would start to drive forward a little bit. In other words, go from that slight back bend to perfectly vertical torso.
Right.
And that little bit of movement, that drive from the body, helped them break through the sticking point. And really, from the 50s onward, you saw the records going up and up and up. And it was largely a result of the referees allowing a more liberal press in that body motion.
Right. Yeah, because I could see how that motion would actually almost allow you to move the bar and then push yourself beneath the bar. And then from there, press it upward, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Hoffman, in one of his books, Guide to Weightlifting Competition, said that the important thing is to get the bar over your head as fast as you possibly can.
Right.
You know, the real key is get the bar from the starting position up close to the face, as close as you can go, through the sticking point, and then over the top of the head. And then it's just a matter of locking it out. But you have to do it as fast as you can. And that little body motion that I just described, that drive, allows you to do that.
Right.
And from there, you just stand, you know, hard, firm, tall, strong, everything locked, and push it on up overhead. And to give you an idea of how strong people could be and what a difference this style of lifting made, already mentioned Tony Terlazzo, 148-pound lifter, Olympic gold medalist, and he could handle 240, 250 pounds in the military press.
Right.
In the 1950s, mid-1950s, Isaac Berger of Brooklyn, born in Israel, family moved to Brooklyn, and you know he was following John Davis, yet another world and Olympic champion from your old stomping grounds, Carl.
Brooklyn, okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Berger weighed 132.
Okay.
Okay, so he's lighter, significantly lighter than Terlazzo. At a body weight of 132, he pressed in competition, official lift, 270 pounds.
Holy mackerel.
Which is more than double body weight.
Right.
And he did that body drive that I've just described. You know, by the time he was lifting in the mid and late 50s, the rules had become such that you could do that, and, you know, he was competing against the Russians and you know, the other outstanding lifters from around the world, all of whom were using that type of lift in competition. And to keep up with them, you had to master it yourself. You had to learn how to do it. So he developed a very smooth, very dynamic, very fast military press. I mean, his strength was outstanding, but his pressing form, his pressing technique was just incredible. In fact, some people, including some of the Russians, thought that he had the best form in the lifts of anyone in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was for the Russians saying that about an American.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty impressive.
And, yeah. Well, you know, he was an impressive man. He was in, he was featured in the New York Times. And in the New York Times, they said that he was bad medicine for the Soviet athletes. He was... You know, he was the one that they couldn't beat.
Yeah, the giant killer.
Yeah, literally.
Let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up this story, and then I want to talk about how to reincorporate overhead pressing into your routine, and also for those of us who have shoulder issues, whether or not it's wise. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. You can learn more about him by going to his website, brookskubik.com. If you've never heard of dinosaur training, you've been living beneath a rock. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance comes comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so clearly, as the technique changed just slightly, the ability to break records went up as fast as the bar was going up.
Absolutely.
Where did it top out? I mean, who ended up in that early era being the king of the overhead or military press?
Well, Isaac Berger was one of them at the lighter weights. Tommy Kono of the United States, 2-time Olympic gold medal winner and 6-time world champion, was a phenomenal military presser. He set world records in the military press at 148, 165, 181, and 198. I mean,
that's
amazing. To be able to set world records, not only in the 148, 165, and 181 pound class, but the 198 pound class also.
That was considered the heavyweight group, right?
Well, it was right below heavyweight.
Okay.
That's a range of 50 pounds.
Right.
And to be the best in the world at the military press against everyone within a range of 50 pounds body weight is insane. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like somebody winning, world boxing championship in, you know,
yeah,
weight classes.
Yeah, right.
Bantamweight,
welterweight, you know, middleweight, yeah. You're right. I guess it is amazing. What was his, at the 198 weight, do you remember what his overhead press was?
350.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He told me in a recent interview, we talked about this off air. I've done a course on the military press, military press and shoulder power, which of course is available at the website, www.brookscubic.com. And for the course, I interviewed 4 former world, and Olympic champions. Because I wanted to get, you know, the information on, you know, how to do it, what did you do back in the day from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So I interviewed Pete George, Frank Spellman, Tommy Kono, and Isaac Berger. And it was really interesting because I got, you know, how they trained, what they did, sets, reps, assistance exercises, how many days a week they trained the press, what other exercises they did, really interesting stuff. Training technique, you know, the special pressing technique that Isaac Berger used, we went through that in great detail. Well, Tommy Kono shared with me a time that he was working out at a gym in Hawaii, where he lived. And a professional wrestler from Japan named Ricky Dozen.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're aware of, you know, Ricky Dozen. He came in with another professional wrestler, former sumo wrestler, that he was trying to break into the pro wrestling ranks. And he introduced the sumo wrestler, who was, you know, gigantic, to Tommy Kono. This guy was probably 200 pounds, 300 pounds heavier than Tommy Kono at the time. And Ricky Dozen said, you know, show Tommy how strong you are. So this guy took an 80-pound dumbbell and went over to an incline bench, one of those old-fashioned incline benches that you would, you know, actually lie on.
Right.
And he drapes his arm over the bench and starts doing preacher curls, preacher bench curls or Scott curls, with the 80-pound dumbbell.
Wow.
You know, with one hand, just, you know, kind of casually.
Right.
And Tommy felt like he was being challenged. He needed to do, you know, something, you know, because Ricky Dozen is saying, you know, he's strong. Tommy Kono's strong. He's really strong. So he looks across the gym, and someone had been doing squats. They had 290 pounds on the bar. Now, Tommy was not working out at the time. He was totally cold. No warm-up, nothing. He walked over and military pressed the 290-pound barbell.
Wow.
Yeah, no warm-up.
Yeah, he just went, brought it to his shoulders, pushed it up.
Well, it was on the squat stand, so he just took it off as if doing a front squat, and bang, just pressed it right on up overhead.
So he didn't have to clean it first. Okay.
No. Yeah, cleaning close to 300 pounds with no warm-up, probably not
risky.
A good idea.
Let's fast forward for a second to somebody like Alexeyev. Vasily Alexeyev pressed 507 pounds, clean and pressed 507 pounds in the Olympics, correct?
Yeah.
Didn't we have an American that made it onto what was that computer company that used him in one of their ads where he cleaned and pressed the weight and then he drops it and it goes through the floor and down? Wasn't it at Epson or something like that? He was an American guy who braided his beard. Do you know what I'm talking about? This was recently. This was just like within the past, you know, decade.
Yeah, I cannot think of his name. I thought you were going to mention Ken Patera, who had competed at the Olympics and in World Championships against Alexeyev.
And did he beat Alexeyev?
No. Yeah. No. He's the one who famously said something to the effect of if I could match Alexeyev's drug bill, I could beat him.
I do remember that.
That drew a lot of, you know, a lot of attention. And then he went into pro wrestling.
Ken Patera. I remember him now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so was Alexeyev, did he have the top press of all the weight groups, that 507-pound? Did anybody break that record?
I don't think so. I think that he had the highest of all time, but I could be wrong there.
I mean, Brooks, you know, for those of us who deadlift, you know, and we think
500
like
pounds.
Well, you know, you're working your way up to a 600-pound deadlift, let's say, and you know, 500
sure.
pounds, you know, just getting it from the floor and getting your body erect is quite, you know, for the average lifter, a 500-pound deadlift is very respectable, no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy cleans it to his shoulders and then presses it overhead, which is like, could you imagine deadlifting like? You just did a double with 500, and you're so proud of yourself. This guy steps up behind you, goes, "Hey, you mind if I work in?" And he cleans and presses it. How embarrassing that would be! I mean, do you realize the overall body strength it must require to clean and press 500 pounds at any weight, at any body weight?
Well, or to press double body weight,
yeah,
or
yeah.
press 100 pounds over body weight. I mean. Quite frankly, Carl, doing a clean and press with body weight is far beyond the strength level of most people who train. And if you add weight to that, for example, if you go to 50 pounds over body weight, very few people can do that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, went to a gym in the Chicago area once, I think this was over the holidays, and the gym owner knew a guy called Rocky Blyer, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was the blocking back with Franco Harris when Franco Harris played for the Steelers.
Right.
And, you know, the Steelers did a lot of heavy weightlifting. I mean, they were a very, very strong team when they were, you know, the top team in the NFL, and it was in large part because they did so much heavy lifting. So Rocky Blyer, who's, you know, top gun in the NFL and Vietnam veteran hero and, you know, just a, real impressive man and a real impressive story, they asked him if he could do some lifting, and, you know, he walks over to a 225-pound Olympic bar and in street clothes, cleans and presses it. Okay?
Right.
Now, that was one of the really impressive things that I saw when I was a kid. I saw that and it was like, wow, couldn't believe it. And yet, looking back on it, you know, Blyer weighed around 220 or 225.
Right, so it was a body weight press and that was still considered pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at that and I was like, wow, and you know, everyone in the gym, you know, just whoa. And this was, you know, this was a gym where they had some pretty hardcore lifters. So, you know, if you can clean and press body weight, you're doing really, really good. And if you can do significantly more than that, you're doing really, really good.
Do you think the overhead press that no one does any longer? You know, lots of guys sit down on a bench and do dumbbell presses with, you know, fairly a decent weight, you know, 70, 80-pound dumbbells and up, and some of the stronger guys using 100 pounds in dumbbells and up. But the majority of people are doing most of their pressing either on a Smith machine sitting or with dumbbells sitting. Is the lift that much different once you put legs under it? We actually have to take a break, so I want you to hold this answer.
Okay.
Is the lift that much different once you put legs beneath it? We're talking with Brooke Kubik about overhead pressing. You don't see much overhead pressing really in the gym anymore. You see lots of dumbbell pressing and Smith machine pressing, but guys are sitting. So let's examine this phenomenon in a minute when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. One shot. Later in the show, Randy Roach and Peter Grimkowski. Very, very candid interview. Giving you a peek behind the curtain of what drug use in bodybuilding was really like in the 70s. And not the stuff that people like to say. Grimkowski is going to drop some real bombs today. I predict that I'm either going to get a lot of flack or a lot of praise for this interview later on in the show. Right now we're talking with Brooks Kubik. So, Brooks, does the press really change when you put legs beneath it?
Well, it does, because when you do the press, it's an exercise that hits the entire body as a unit. And, you know, to give you an example, I'm looking at a photo right now that it's a little black and white Polaroid from Isaac Berger's scrapbook. He sent it to me so that I could include it in the military press course that I'm doing. And it's 1958 World Championships. He's lifting 253 pounds in the military press at a body weight of 132.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, 132, that's tiny.
Yeah. Five foot tall, 132 pounds. And the interesting thing about this is he is ripped to shreds. The muscles are popping out of his forearms and his triceps like you can't imagine. His face looks like it's going to explode because, you know, he's holding his breath as he drives through the sticking point, and he's under tremendous strain. But the other thing that you see are his thighs. And his thighs, now mind you, this is a man who could, at 132, front squat 450.
Holy mackerel.
Back squat 500. Okay?
At 132 pounds.
Yeah.
I think my sister weighs 132 pounds. And she's 5 foot. That's amazing.
I refuse to comment because I might meet your sister someday, and if you've guessed high, then we're both in trouble.
Well, but no, but you know what I'm saying. It's like this is a very small stature of a person that's heaving that. I mean, there's many of us who think a 500-pound squat is the ultimate. Here's a guy who was 132 pounds that he was squatting that. Front squatting 400. Oh, my God. The guy was insanely strong. But you were saying his quads are just bulging out as well.
His quads are not only bulging, but it's like one of the most ripped bodybuilding-type legs. I'm talking about, you know, from below the knee, because the tendons are so huge. They look like the muscle runs down below the kneecap.
Right.
Okay. And everything above that is just bulging like thigh development that you didn't see until after Tom Platz. Okay? And that's not the result of driving with the legs. It's the result of tensing the legs. Because when you're doing an overhead press from a standing position, you have to tense everything, every muscle in the body, because instead of doing a bench press where you lie back and you're braced against the bench, you become the bench. when you do a standing overhead lift. You have to provide all the brace, all the support for that tremendous effort as you drive the bar overhead. Well, you know, that means, you know, your stomach, your abs are just, you know, tight as can be.
Yeah, you talk about core strength.
Absolutely.
You have to be a pillar, a solid pillar.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, okay, when you are contracting everything, when everything is contracted as much as possible, your nervous system goes into overdrive. And that's something that you want to do is work the whole body in a tremendous effort. And that's one reason why you want to do the standing press.
And nobody does it anymore, Brooks. But let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if you have shoulder issues from bench pressing, that you notice bench pressing, do they translate into the overhead press? You're going to have same shoulder problems in the overhead press. Yes or no?
Well, it depends. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, and the reason I say it depends is this. Some people cannot do bench presses, but they can do military presses. Some people cannot do military presses, but they can do bench presses. And, you know, it depends on what type of shoulder problem you have. It depends on your body structure. It depends on the length of your arms. It depends on how you bench, how you press, your groove, you know, lots of different things. There was a time when I started to have shoulder problems when I was benching, and I switched over to doing military presses and push presses, and those were perfectly fine. And then later on, there was a time when the military press was causing shoulder problems, and I switched over to push presses, and those were fine. One thing, you know, and it changes as you get older. I mean, you know, when you get into your 40s and 50s, and I would assume into your 60s, you know, you're always going to be having to work around these different types of issues. One thing that is important to remember for anyone at any age, finding ways to train around sore shoulders is, to a large degree, a matter of angles.
Yeah.
You know, so we've talked before, dumbbells. Dumbbells are much, much more forgiving.
So we're running low on time. Are you suggesting that you can start out doing overhead presses with dumbbells, first of all?
If you have shoulder problems, you want to try overhead presses with dumbbells.
Okay.
One dumbbell or two dumbbells.
Okay, next question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being rapid fire, but I want to try
That's
to get...
That's fine. Shoot.
And I want to get people to order your training guide, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to use some leg thrust to get the bar moving if you have shoulder issues, is that okay or not okay?
That's okay.
Because I have a sticking point in my shoulders that people feel when they spot me when I'm doing dumbbell shoulder presses. I need that first push past the point where my shoulders fall into place, and then I can press.
Yeah, and that's very true of a lot of lifters. I'm sorry, a lot of older lifters, if I can put you in the same class
that
I'm in,
the heck with you, the heck with you. Yeah, I know, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the point is you find ways to keep on training as opposed to saying, well, I can't do such and so, so I'm going to quit. You never want to do that.
Yeah.
Kettlebells. You know, you've seen the photos and the DVDs of our good friend Mike Mahler. You know,
right.
He's doing those stacked kettlebell presses, five reps with over 100 pounds with two kettlebells in one hand. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, some people are not going to be able to do that because it hurts their shoulders. Others are going to find that the groove with the kettlebell works better for them than anything else. You know, it's just you got to experiment intelligently. You know, be sensible. Don't hurt yourself when you experiment. But try different things because different things and different grooves will provide different benefits for you.
Yeah. Listen, where can people get – I want to know for myself. I want to get it. Where can I get the overhead – pressing guide that you're producing now?
Go to www.brookscubic.com.
Right.
Hit the button for the products page, and then with, you know, all the different books and courses and DVDs, look for the Dinosaur Military Press and Shoulder Power course, and that's the one you want.
Okay, and so how much is it?
$19.95 plus shipping and handling.
And so it's a hardcover. It's an actual hard product you get. It's a book.
Yeah, yeah. So far, we're not doing anything that's not hardcover. It's all hardcover.
I like that about you. You don't just flip out e-books and just start mailing them to people. I like that a lot.
Yeah, we try to put out a real quality product. And, you know, one thing that I always do, if you order a book or a course and you want me to sign it, just say so. Because I'm not only happy to do it, I'm honored to do it. And, you know, that makes kind of a nice addition to the library, having a, you know, signed, autographed book. You know, if you're training, you know, for example, if your goal is to military press 300 pounds, tell me, you know, because you'll get an autograph that says, you know, Carl, good luck on the 300-pound
yeah.
prep, you know.
Yeah. With me, it'll be Carl. It'll be like, yeah, good luck on that 300-pound press. Good luck. It'll be a little sarcastic, that's all. Listen, Brooke, important to discuss this stuff. Many of us have forgotten about the overhead press. I got to figure out how to work it back into my routine. It is an important press, and I would challenge everybody, start out light. Put two 25-pound plates on the bar and just get the form down. Get it past your chin. Get it past the sticking points. And don't try to go up too fast. Work it in for 4, 5, or 6 months, just gently increasing the weight. Don't be too aggressive. You're not doing it at all now, so doing it with any weight is going to be better.
Yeah, that's a really good point is – even if you've been training for a long time, if you've not been doing overhead work, you're not trained for overhead work. Not yet. So start light, easy, sensibly, move up progressively.
And get Brooks' book at BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com. Brooks, thanks for doing the show today, brother.
Sure thing. Take care, Carl.
All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, Randy Roach and Peter Grimkowski, I promise, none of you will be disappointed with this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A training guide before the Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks.
The new, quieter Urethane Series Power Blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, during a recent interview on National Public Radio, the host of the show, Lisa Daniels, asked me who had the greatest influence on me, who my mentors were. And actually, the only name that I could come up with was Randy Roach, because Randy's influence on me changed the direction of this show. That either speaks to the fact that I'm smart, or I need to expand my list of friends. But nonetheless, it's a pleasure to have Randy back on the show. How you doing, Randy?
Pretty good, Carl. Thanks for that compliment there.
I think, right? But it was amazing when she asked me that. The only person I could come up with was you, because the truth is, no one has had a greater impact on me, my life, my nutritional approaches to life, or the direction of the show than you. Okay.
Thanks.
With that being said, while reading Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, I came across a chapter dedicated to a man whose name I had never known before reading your book, and that was Peter Grimkowski, and we have the pleasure of having him on the show. How you doing, Peter?
Hi, how are you, Carl? Nice to be with you today, and it's a real honor to be on your show.
Well,
I appreciate that. And Randy, also nice to see you, or nice to hear from you today.
Good to hear from you, Peter.
Now, it needs to be said, when you talk to athletes, real athletes, Olympic athletes, athletes who have a singular goal in life, and that is to achieve a gold medal standards in their chosen sport, what you find out about these athletes is the difference between a gold medal quality athlete and a Hammond Egger is the level of dedication and their willingness to do whatever it takes to reach their goals. It was once asked if athletes could take a drug that would shorten their lives by 30 years but guarantee them gold in the Olympics. And I forget, some ridiculous 90% of the athletes said yes, absolutely. That just goes to show you the drive of a true athlete. When I read about you, Peter, I realized that that was you. I want to expose my audience to your story. I want to take it slow. I want to go through the process that Randy went through with writing about you. And Randy, feel free at any point to jump in here and help me as well.
Okay.
But Peter, when were you first exposed to bodybuilding?
Well, I was I grew up in a Catholic school. My sister was a nun, and a Catholic nun in the Mercy Order. And I had a Catholic background, strong influence, throughout grammar school. And when I went to high school, I couldn't get into a Catholic high school. My grades weren't high enough. In fact, I had already started a business with my father. And I found, you know, I looked forward to working and making money more than I did going to school. So going to high school, I had to toughen up because it was in public school in upstate New York was a lot different from a Catholic school. And so it seemed like the tougher people were starting to work out. And I noticed this trend coming from California. And so I started working out and about 13 years old, to answer your question specifically.
Okay. And as a result of that, that's funny. You and I have some similar backgrounds as far as the whole.
That'd be about 1959 there for your listeners.
Okay. So when did you get serious about bodybuilding? When did you look at it like, wow, I can actually become a professional in this particular sport?
I started training really hard almost every single day from the time I was 13 to the time I was probably 21, I would say, or, you know, approximately. And I was training with a bunch of power lifters at the time and Olympic lifters. And they would have Olympic lifting and powerlifting competitions and throw in a bodybuilding event at the end of the their lifting competition to attract financial income for their competition. So I went to a bodybuilding competition, saw it and decided to enter it, and they kind of built me up, but I came in second from last. But I entered a big competition.
It could be said that your early bodybuilding experiences really had more to do with strength, because you had to be more of a power lifter just to get on the stage as a bodybuilder. Is that correct? Am I understanding you right?
Kind of, yes. Well, what happened was that by training with the power lifters, I found that I had a different type of physique. But see, by having my own building maintenance company at an early age, I was doing a lot of physical labor. And I was only going to school at the time probably an hour and a half a day, but doing a lot of physical labor. And then eventually I had 68 employees, you know, at the age of 15 or 16. And,
wow.
But to make a long story short, I needed to put on size. My father was real lean and wiry, so for me to work out with heavy weights, so I was actually substituting my weight training program my work schedule with weight training just to bulk up. So I was creating a real good physique in all the work I did, but I needed to bulk up and put some size on. So I started a weight training physique or a weight training schedule with these power lifters, and then developed this, just fell into a naturally good physique, I think based on genetics, that I went to a competition, and the first competition I won, which was a city title. The second one was a state title. Then I went on to compete in a national title, which was the Junior Mr. America contest, I believe it was.
I think you said USA, Peter. Junior Mr. USA?
Yes, it was, Randy. Thank you. As a matter of fact, yes, it was Junior USA, and I came in second from last. But what an education I got.
Right. Because you came back.
Well, more so, I meant an education. I didn't mean to laugh or and even take a break there for a second. But the education I got was I came back with knowledge of, man, I was, you know, there's something new out there, and I better give it a try.
And when we say something new, we're talking about the introduction of androgens and anabolic steroids, which obviously was pioneered. A friend of mine has one of the original flyers from SIBA that was promoting the distribution of Dianabol by doctors into gyms. So this, what we're talking about is actually an era of time where this was not frowned upon. This was actually medical community was supporting athletes' use of these drugs, correct?
Correct as 100% can be. I mean, I walked into, just to reiterate, I walked into a pharmacy, I remember, with my blinker lights on, and a very, very main thoroughfare in upstate in Rochester, New York, a very main thoroughfare. And within 5 minutes, I walked out with a cargo container. It was over 1,000 bottles of Anavar, which was, you know, enough to last a hospital probably a year, but, you know, it lasted me probably a month.
Well, I don't want to give away the ghost here, because I actually want to go into the break, because what I want to talk about now is I used to do a show for a very popular bodybuilding website, and we interviewed a guy who was supposedly has helped 60 pros reach their IFBB status, and we interviewed him. And I said to him ahead of time, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to call the guy out. Mm-hmm. I said, look, before you can come on the show, I want to tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about drug use in bodybuilding. Will you name amounts? Will you talk openly about usage? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And when he came on the show, mm-hmm. what he said was, you know, most bodybuilders are using 2, 3, 4, 5 grams of androgens a week. And I'm thinking to myself, geez, I know gym rats. I mean, myself, when I was experimenting, I was using 2,500 milligrams a week between testosterone and DECA and some orals. It's like, is that all they're using? Wow, these guys really must have amazing genetics. No wonder why I can't get big. I don't have the genetics. Then, so I consider myself pretty informed, okay?
Yes.
Then I read Randy's book, and I start reading your passage, and I'm like, wait a minute. That has to be a typo. But then it's again... It's not a typo. Oh, my God. Could this be real? And if so, what are the guys of today using? Which I asked Randy this question, and he does have some opinions we're going to allow him to chime in on as well. But here's what I want to do. I want to take a commercial break, and then I want to fast forward to California, right? Because that's where you were when Randy was writing about you sleeping on the beach. Yes. And stuff like that?
Yeah, okay. Boardwalk.
Under the boardwalk, right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this discussion, and I promise you, all of you out there who consider yourself bodybuilding aficionados, who think you know what's really going on in bodybuilding, I promise you that the next couple segments that we talk about how Peter Grimkowski lived, trained, ate, and the drug use that was going on in the 70s, you will never forget this interview or this man's name, I promise you. This is all about candid truth. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnaboleMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnaboleMinds.com today and get into the action. AnaboleMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. 5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
If you've not read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors yet, you have a lot of catching up to do because Volume 2 is just released. If you are a fan of physical culture, a fan of bodybuilding, I don't care if it's just the physique and bikini competitions that you're interested in, you must read Randy Roach's book, The Greatest Single Contribution to Physical Culture in the World. It will go down in history. His accumulation of information, putting it all into chronological order and sequencing it for us to read is to physical culture what the Encyclopedia Britannica was to general information. You can go to randyroach.ca and buy the book. I suggest that if you want to continue to listen to my show, that you buy the book so you are up to par with the information that we already have here on Superhuman Radio. Okay, interestingly enough, here's the beauty of live radio. The guy that I referenced before, whose name I left out, just messaged me on Facebook telling me what the cycles are that he uses for all of his IFBB pros. They are nothing in comparison to what was being done back in the 70s. Nothing at all. So I still question the validity of his information. So let's start out in California. So you arrive in California. This is obviously the mecca of bodybuilding. You're serious about this. You go there, right?
Yes.
Tell me about your routine leading up to a competition, the one that was depicted in the book. So you find yourself sleeping under the boardwalk. Was this by choice or because you just had no place else to sleep?
Actually, both. What I did was I came to California to compete in a competition. I was left Rochester, New York, and went to Orlando, Florida, and within about a four-month period of time, in fact, it was to the day, I arrived in Florida, I believe it was February 10th, 1977, and I left Florida June 10th, 1977, or June 9th, 1977.
Oh, the day before my birthday, the 11th. There you go.
Interesting. Okay. So, I left Florida after gaining 40 pounds in training to enter the Mr. America competition.
Now, were you down there training with Arthur Jones?
I was earlier in 1972, but this was later in 1977.
Gotcha.
before coming out to California. I was training at the Orange Avenue gym because a couple unique things, and I hadn't even mentioned it to Randy yet, but I should have because it's really not part of.
No, this is good. I can scoop something finally. No, please, let's go. Sorry, Randy.
Very unique thing was that we were just covering Arthur Jones, as you mentioned, and I was down there in the early 70s training with Arthur, and what we were doing was we were pre-exhausting muscle by doing like a set of flies first and then going into like a chest press or whatever the case might be, or one of his chest machine. But so pre-exhaustion was important at the time. But what I did find out later was that the pre-exhaustion was preventing me from using as heavy of a weight
right.
as I would want to use in the completion, you know, the standard set that I would be using. So we kind of ended up doing the opposite of the Nautilus routine, but very similar. Instead of an ascending pattern of activity into the bigger muscle group using pre-exhaustion, we were using the descending pattern of activity, which would be starting with the heavy weight as heavy as you could, blasting out right to the very end. I mean, there is no way you could get that next rep up. You'd need assistance. Whereas we didn't use assistance. We used hypnosis, and that made us complete that repetition, forcing us beyond physical failure to go to the farthest extreme. I can't stress hypnosis enough, as maybe we'll get into in, you know, future.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. So now, so let's talk about, so you know, you're in California and you find yourself, you're sleeping under the boardwalk. As you approach a competition, let's say 3 weeks out, the androgen use starts to elevate, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
Now, you would sleep under the boardwalk at night. You'd wake up in the morning, and what would be the first thing that you would do after waking up?
Well, I wouldn't wake up in the morning. What I would do is I'd be training all night from midnight to 7 in the morning. Then I would go to the boardwalk. I'd go to McDonald's at the corner, and I would get the old hamburgers from the night before. There's actually a girl there who ended up being one of my wives. Make a long story short.
Yeah, that's good.
But back when I used to go there, she used to give me free hamburgers. I'd walk in, they'd give me a case of the old hamburgers that were going to go in the dumpster, or they already were in the dumpster, and you know, they were just thrown in.
How many hamburgers would you eat at this particular meal?
Oh, probably a dozen, you know, maybe just a dozen.
Now, let's be clear for the audience. This was the only meal you ate throughout the day, right? Because you believed that as a carnivore, most carnivores, like lions, they eat one big meal in the day and that's it, right?
Yeah, one big meal a day. That would be pretty much my one big meal, is right. I would go to the gym later on, and I'd have a protein drink, a couple of them throughout the day. I'd have one when I, but just to make a long story short, I would go to the beach at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, by the time I got my burgers, and because I train about 7 hours a night, so midnight to 7, I was always right on schedule to the second. Midnight to 7 in the morning, 100 sets per body part, no time lapse between sets. It was immediate, one thing right to the next. You know, the only thing that holds the psychic, the conscious mind back is the pain. And if you're blocking the pain through hypnosis, the subconscious mind is doing its job where need be. So there is no pain. There's only the matter of recuperative time, which, according to lactic acid buildup and so forth, you're supposed to get weaker. But, you know, you get that second wind. Everybody gets that, and it's kind of like people when they're moving a car, a child's pinned under a car, for example.
Right.
We would get that. I would say we. I would get that. There was one other, the hypnotist. Therapist that hypnotized me did an article for Joe Weider's magazine, and I helped the guy get his license, his hypnosis license. I don't know if it was Santa Monica College or whatever, but I was one of the first people he practiced on, and his name was Dr. Peter Siegel. He has since passed away, but he did a column in Joe Weider's magazine after a while. In fact, I wasn't even competing anymore at that time, but you know, going back to arriving in California, the night I arrived was the night I met Peter Siegel at Gold's Gym, because from the airport I came right to Gold's Gym. I had a one-way ticket. I met Peter Siegel, of course, who became Dr. Peter
right,
Siegel.
Right, later on.
He hypnotized me that night because he asked me, he says, how are you doing? I said, oh, man. I said, I can't believe this competition. I said, these people are phenomenal. I says, man, I says, if I could place in even a top 10, I says, if I could place somehow or get some kind of exposure in this contest, I'd be happy as can be.
Right. I don't want to run off course here, because we can absolutely have you back on another time to talk about some of these other this other information that is equally important. But I want to make sure that people understand what you were doing back then. So you would train from midnight to 7 a.m. You'd have this massive meal, and then you would go to the beach and go to sleep, right?
Exactly. Just like an animal. It makes a kill, it goes to sleep, you know.
And you'd sleep underneath the boardwalk, but then you'd wake up at some point in time and move from underneath the boardwalk to outside into the sun, right?
Right, about 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'd go out in the sun. Maybe not even. Sometime by the time I got to bed, sometime was 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'd sleep till an hour and a half to 2 hours was the most, because I had done some research also and found out that it took 43 minutes of theta state sleep, you know, REM sleep, to start secreting growth hormone. So knowing that, I wanted to make sure that I covered that period of time, so to get into a good deep sleep. Also, that hour in the morning, I could sleep deeply because I wasn't worried security-wise. People were already coming
right
to the beach, laying
right
in the sun, you know. So, and then later when I laid in the sun was when I wanted to dehydrate a little bit. Mid-noon time, I didn't have a full stomach. I didn't need fluid to digest my foods. I, you know, I had minimal, most of my food was digested by that point. I would go for a swim, maybe take a quick walk on a beach. I didn't care much for jogging. I
right
saw what did to some of the other bodybuilders with the elasticity of the muscle, you know, gravitational pull on all that muscle.
Right,
so
right.
I chose not to jog. And
let me ask you a question, Peter, because we're coming into the next break. So this schedule, how long of a period of time did you keep this schedule? And then we're going to talk about the drugs. How long of a time did you actually do this? Training seven hours a night from midnight to 7 a.m. Eating that one big, how long?
Continually through 77, 78, 79, into Bayern Gold's gym as well, and throughout that period of time up until 82, because I helped support Gold's gym at its infancy. You know, when I took
right
it over, it was financially distraught, and,
right,
you know, I needed to bring in money doing exhibitions and seminars. So my seminars were what we're talking about today.
Right. Now, before we go into this break, I want to set the stage for what we're going to talk about when we come out of the break. And I want to ask you this question. The drug protocol that you were using back then, do you think that this was just unique to you, or do you think that there were other pros doing what you were doing?
I would assume there were other pros doing what I'm doing, because I knew that the power lifters were doing various similar things, and the Russians were just blowing this away, you know.
Right.
And aside from that was that we had to get all we could out of steroids. It's like, how much can you get out of a supercharged top fuel gas engine? Let alone now comes along nitro. That's the growth
right
hormone, and the other, you know, there's some other secretive stuff I don't even
know.
Yeah,
insulin. We talked about all that stuff on there. The insulin use, growth hormone, obviously lots of different peptides out there that are becoming very popular amongst the bodybuilders.
Peptides are very popular, but there's also a magical crystal ball that's, I don't know if anybody knows about yet, but which is super, super unbelievable.
Okay.
Blows everything else away.
Well, let's do this.
I don't even know if I'll talk about that.
No, and I'm not asking you to. What I do want you to talk about when we come out of the break is what the drug regimen was in the 70s we're talking about. Back then when you were competing. We're going to get into that next. We're talking with Peter Grimkowski, and believe it or not, while he's been very, very silent, and he is going to be jumping in here more in the next segment, Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. If you have not read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, you have two volumes to read now. So you have a lot of catching up to do. Go to randyroach.ca. By far, the most impactful books I have read in my life. We'll be right back. They know my face, CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you
chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with bodybuilding legend Peter Grimkowski and my good friend Randy Roach.
Carl, can I interject something?
Yes, before, please.
When you're ready to start, I'd like to interject something. Go
please.
Ahead.
Please. No, interject now, because I'm going to...
We're getting into Peter's protocols here. Peter and I talked a lot of what he did, and that morning meal at McDonald's wasn't necessarily that main feeding. It was after his workout, but what I understood was his primary feeding time was between 4 and 7 o'clock at night, several hours before he went to the gym. And often, because he trained all night, he wouldn't, not necessarily all the time, but sometimes if the opportunity was there, go to McDonald's and get some extra protein in terms of beef. Is that correct, Peter?
Yes, definitely. Right.
Also, Carl, you might want to go back, and Peter's got a lot to share. I mean, he participated in a joint venture with the Strong Memorial Hospital and the University of Rochester Medical Research Center back in 1974. They watched Peter. They had Peter and his friends stay right on residence as they monitored his steroid use.
Really?
He learned a lot from there. That's in the book I talked
about.
Yeah,
no, I did read that in the book, actually.
Yeah. So go ahead. I just wanted to make sure with that one-time feeding that Peter did was primary to...
I have a question for you, Randy. Most of modern bodybuilding... followers attribute Dorian Yates to being the first athlete who stepped on the stage over 240 pounds ripped to shreds. But correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like Peter was.
Yeah, I think those guys are both about the same height. But yeah, 1970s, like I said, Peter was one of the first mass monsters.
I'm looking at a picture of Peter on the internet, and one of the things that I noticed is not only is he physically, structurally, he had the legs that are... common today, you know.
Well, look at his shoulders too. Right?
Well, and shoulders, but one of the things he doesn't have, which is attributed to all the growth hormone, is he doesn't have that tortoise shell abdomen. He doesn't have the big distended stomach. His stomach is. I bet you were able to do a vacuum pose back then, weren't you, Peter?
Yeah. Well, a unique thing I did was I would climb up these ropes at a YMCA that would go up 4.5 stories high. It was very unique YMCA, which had several running tracks going around the perimeter. But I would go up and down those ropes to build my upper torso. I remember about 25 or 30 times I would go all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom.
Wow.
Without stopping.
Wow.
With just my legs out straight, but using all just my arms, which was all upper torso. But you see, training with those power lifters and using those dosages, these power lifters and Olympic lifters that I trained with at this YMCA before we even started our own club, they were always making weekly treks to York, Pennsylvania, and training with the York USA team. And they would always intermingle with people like Alexeev, and you know, which was the Russian at the time. And they were swapping diet. I remember different drugs for blue jeans, the whole complete outfit. Yeah,
that's funny.
So,
we just talked about Alexeev a little while ago about his clean and press of 507 pounds. But anyway, okay, so now let's get to the meat of this subject here. Explain to my audience what your drug protocol was at the three-week out point moving forward towards a competition.
Well, I knew that through tests they were doing on dogs, and which was really interesting, Randy was able to really point out in the book how, you know, and I really hadn't given it much thought because things were going so fast between competition and quitting competition, taking over Gold's Gym, and then starting the licensed franchising program all over the world, and then the contacts from being Mr. World and all that. But I kind of lost track on ever following through with really acknowledging what my dosages were and everything till Randy was actually critiquing me, and I was thinking back on what we were testing. And I remember when my tests were coming back at University of Rochester and Strong Earl Hospital, there was a doctor from Russia and another one, a scientist from Poland, who were actually standing right next to the bed where my test results were coming in on. And I was actually, I was living there, you know,
right,
for a part of the time to do all these tests. I was getting paid for it. And my tests were coming back, and they couldn't believe how just spot on normal everything was, because the falsity that most people were getting at the time when they were taking steroids, and the reason they were going on this on-off schedule that everybody was followed, which was the worst thing in the world anybody could have done, because at first you're just blowing your hormones out of
proportion. Right.
Yeah. And then you're coming back and expecting them to do something that they're not capable of doing. So, we found out you stay on or you're going to be off. So I stayed on. Gee, I think it was a total of 17 and a half years, I believe, I was on.
Right.
Continually. And the big mistake I made was getting off steroids. When I started franchising my gyms, I started getting all kinds of different ailments that were
right,
catching up with a 40-year-old at the time. And
I've actually talked about that on the show one time. There's a great responsibility that comes to using hormones, and that is that you have to continue to do it for the rest of your life once you start doing it.
I think the whole answer is exactly this is the first time I heard your show. What's the companies that you're involved with, the polypeptides and the various, all the new scientific supplements that are coming out now. If a person stayed on that stuff and stayed on a hormone replacement program, they could keep the same physique and stayed on a training regimen. You keep the
and
same.
But training is part of it. That's part of the responsibility. If you're going to use hormones, you have to make a commitment to stay on as you age. The other thing is you need to make the commitment to train as you age. Otherwise, that's when the heart starts getting funky and all the systems in the body start going awry. But I want to move this forward.
Normal atrophy. Yeah, but go ahead.
So give me the protocol. You were using how much a day?
Last 3 week or whatever period, sometime be 5 week. Mostly 3 week is when I jam it way up to that. But I would be approximately 3,000 milligrams a day at the time. So that's shots, oral tablets. And don't forget, back then we didn't have the growth hormone. You know, this was, you're talking back in the 60s and 70s. You know, I quit training. My last competition was 1979. And, you know, I just did exhibitions till 82. You know, Randy really got right on when he made me aware of what the dates were, because, you know, it just went from one thing then to the franchising, the international, then the clothing all over
right.
the world.
So Peter, so, you would actually do three injections upon waking or during the morning.
Yeah, like for example, if I left the gym, even when I was doing exhibitions in 1982, while I still had Gold's Gym, I mean, you know, I had Gold's Gym already. I stopped competing, but I had exhibitions to do, so I was training. I was on the same schedule, you know, train all night. You get up in the morning. Before I go to bed in the morning, I would take several shots. I would go to eat some I'd have my hamburgers, which wasn't my main meal. That was to feed that anabolic activity after my training.
That was your post-workout meal. So at one point, you were using...
It was my post-anabolic meal. I knew every time I took anabolics, you got to have some kind of a, you know, be it protein, be it some form of solid food. That'd be my meat. Then I'd go to sleep like a lion would.
Right.
And in the afternoon, before my training schedule started at night, I'd always try to get a piece of fish with a salad and fuel
the workout. Now, Randy, this 3 grams a day of combined androgen use, was this fairly widespread amongst the powerlifters and the bodybuilders back then, or was this something that Peter extracted because he was training as a powerlifter and brought it over?
No, 3 grams a day is what Peter was taking leading up to the last 3 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I understand Peter took it up to 10 grams.
Yeah, that's what I read. I was going to say it was 10 grams of combined androgens a day.
Before he got up to 10 grams, he was already on the 3 grams. Now, in powerlifting, when Peter first gave me his protocol, I'm not an expert in this area. I called Mauro and I asked him, is this possible? And Mauro looked at it and he said, you know, I've never seen this before. But he says, yeah. He goes, it is possible. And Mauro saw, powerlifters. One powerlifter walked up to him right in front of him, downed an entire bottle of Dianabol. You know, 100
that's 100 tablets, right?
Yeah, it's 500 milligrams right at one shot. And Marl said that powerlifters were already using IV drips in the 1970s before the bodybuilders were using it. So obviously some of the bigger guys were using quite a bit. I don't know exactly how much. Peter's the only guy, I think, who came right out to say exactly or close to what he could recall, exactly what he was taking, like 5 bottles of Anavar, was it 3 bottles of Maxobalin and 3 bottles of Winstrol with those 27 cc's
of oil a day. Wasn't there another? What was the one? There was another oral there that I didn't recognize. Orgobolin or something like that.
Well, that was a Russian one. See, that one that was for cattle, and what they would bulls they would give that they quarter, and those were quartered. Now, you know, I opened a bottle, and of course, I got it in Italy, and I was going to England to do an exhibition, and. I saw they were quartered, so I figured, well, this must be, you know, not cracked up to be what they think it is. But there were only 10 tablets to a bottle, and I took the whole bottle. But what happened, it forces growth so incredibly fast that, and one quarter gets, you have to shred it in a little shredder or whatever they call it, over the feed, and you can, a bottle of that stuff should last 500 pounds of feed for all these bulls.
And you were taking a whole bottle in one shot.
Well, I took the whole bottle in addition to the 10,000 milligrams I already took, because I figured, how am I going to know how much better it performs? Well, then I collapsed in England. All my muscles went into spasms, and luckily I lived, because my heart could have gone into a spasm as well.
You were dehydrated at the time?
Well, I was dehydrated as well, yeah. And, of course, with the accentuated anabolic activity at that last minute like that, you know, it just was...
Yeah, it pushes your central nervous system over the edge. Randy, so in summary,
The powerlifters led the charge. The Olympic athletes led the charge. These types of protocols leading up to a competition of getting up to a point of 10,000 combined androgen milligrams a day was commonplace back then, right?
I can't say that 10,000 milligrams was commonplace.
Oh, that was just something Peter was doing.
Like, well, that's why I called the chapter where no man had gone before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, even with the powerlifter in front of Amaro, he took that's only 500 milligrams. Peter, like, I mean, took several times more than that. So I doubt there was too many people engaging, like I said in the book, matching the testosterone derivatives as Peter back then.
Yeah.
I think he was leading the pack.
See, yeah. Another thing that you have to take in consideration, and my caloric intake throughout the day wasn't as high as a lot of people's was either. But I had achieved that to a lot of the reason I was taking most muscular in so many competitions was because my intercellular as well as subcutaneous fats were fairly low. Although I kept my fluid pretty high, so that was my form of insulation. And when I wanted to get in really top shape where you show all the striations throughout the chest and the delts and so forth, throughout the every part of the body, it's, you know, the striations came from taking that last-minute fluid off, which was
right.
A lot easier to do than taking fat off at the last
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, I mean, clearly, also, the anabolic index of your body by using such high amounts of androgens would predict that even though you were not taking in a lot of calories, your body was it was so anabolic that you were not losing muscle. The body would probably go for fat far first before it would go for muscle. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this discussion. So there you have it. I mean, we're talking about back in the 70s, athletes using between 3 and 10 grams a day of combined androgens. So now I want to ask Randy the million-dollar question. How does that translate to today's athletes with the inclusion of growth factors and peptides and other drugs? You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now, you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find TestCharge today. Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com. Be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until need to build muscles N2Guard. N2Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial
energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Randy, after hearing this revelation, I have to believe that while Peter may have taken this to a different extreme in pursuit of his goals, I have to believe that other people knew what powerlifters were doing, and I have to believe that his low end might have been someone else's high end. So let's say he was pushing the envelope with these 10 grams a day approaches as he was just weeks out from a competition. His normal cruising dose of 3 grams a day may have been someone else's competition dose, which still dwarfs the stated amount of androgens that bodybuilders will admit to using today. In fact, the gentleman I referenced earlier sent me the protocol in – I love live radio. I mean, he's got a total of 3,300 combined milligrams of androgens a week. And then he combines thyroid hormone, HCG, growth hormone, and obviously aromatase inhibitors. And he has this protocol dancing around on, you know, the 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th week out. You're switching this androgen for that androgen. You're getting trenbolone out and putting lorabolin in and so on. But still, we're still talking about under 5 grams a week in total androgens. And back then, they were probably using, 2-3 grams a day. You think this is legitimate, that the addition of these other drugs have allowed athletes to use less anabolic androgens in place of what they were using back then?
Well, there's a few things here. First, not everybody was taking that amount. There are different ways to make the body anabolic and using steroids. Like in the same chapter as Peter, I reintroduced Don Holworth.
Yeah.
Now, Don, I absolutely believe, like, he took 10 milligrams, I said, from 10 to 10,000. He took 10 in 1968 when he left. When he came back in 1979 to do a guest posing, he utilized one of the doctors who was working with some of the bodybuilders at the time. He wanted Don to use 90 milligrams a day, and Don was floored with that. Now, see, Don was different from Peter, where Peter said he didn't eat as much. Even though Peter did on some days eat quite a bit, Don ate a ton of proteins and fats and raw fats, and he got as much out of the small amount of drugs as he took, where Peter also said that if he wanted to get bigger, he had to step up his drug usage. If he knew how much he had to take for 230, he knew how much he had to take for 240.
Right.
So he regulated that way. So where Holworth, he ate an extraordinary amount of food, and he got more out of his anabolics that way, but he never got nearly as – like Don at 5, same height as Peter, only got up to like 210, 212, where Peter was pushing 240, 250.
Right.
Now today, yeah, these new – the newer anabolics of IGF-1, insulin, growth hormone, especially growth hormone, the synergy between these drugs, you don't need near as much testosterone derivative to as you would without them, but you do need some to make.
But
them
see, but here's
active.
But here's what I don't understand. It's like the government. When the government sets a budget and they say, "Oh, we cut the budget this year," what people don't understand is it's not that they if last year they were spending $1 billion, so this year they're spending $900 million. No, they cut the projected budget. So if last year's budget was $1 million, next year's budget is $1.1 billion next year, they cut the $0.1 off and they go, "Oh, we cut the budget." Well, the reason I say this is, we usually build on the foundation of yesteryear. So it would stand to reason that if bodybuilders today knew back in the 70s they were using 2-3 grams a day of androgens, why wouldn't they keep using that protocol and then add these other growth factors in and just reap the benefits of all of this science, as opposed to, well, let's back down our androgens
and use this instead to achieve the same end result.
Well, look at the size. I mean, these guys, Peter's height are now 300 pounds, 290. So they're getting in there. They're getting more with less. And remember, not everybody was taking 3 grams a day back then. Some of the guys were taking a lot less. There's few that were breaking that ice, but not, at least not anybody coming forward. Like, I mean, okay, guys, if you're out there, if you took 3 grams, like, we don't care. We're not going to throw you under the bus. Let's see who else was taking 3 grams a day back at that time. I don't think you're going to see a lot who are doing that amount. Even you check, you know, Mauro be a good guy to check with as well. Like, also with the Jeff Everson, who in the chapter "Do You Know the Way to San Jose," like, he was being, I think, quite honest with his drug use, and it wasn't near that amount.
Right.
But
right.
He was eating a lot too. Like, I mean, again, if you get unless you get somebody today who might come forth like Peter did from the 70s and say, "No, I was really taking a lot more than what they're saying they're taking today." But I believe that they do not have to take what Peter did with the addition of the other anabolics that they're taking today, with especially growth hormone, because they're totally different avenues, right?
Yeah.
And they're getting a lot of mileage on them because they're monstrous. They're absolutely monstrous.
Have you been getting any responses to the book, Randy?
Yeah, the responses are great. I think it's selling really. I won't know officially how much it's selling because you got to wait for the publisher to give you reports after each quarter. But I'm surprised how many people like it better than the first. There are still a few who like the
first. It's a totally different book. It's totally, you know what? The first book was more of a historical review of the introduction of methodical nutrition and so on, where the second book is what burgeoned from that science, the bodybuilding community, how it burgeoned from that science, and who took
Peter
it.
Peter learned. It's too bad the show wasn't longer. Peter learned a lot. Peter learned a lot from that research clinic he was in.
I was going to ask you about that. We could take the show a couple minutes long. What did they learn from that research clinic process?
Do you want to take it, Peter? I was just going to mention the fact. What surprised me is in 1974, when the cholesterolphobia was rising, Peter said that these doctors weren't concerned about the cholesterol. They were concerned about. They told Peter eat the egg yolk and eat it raw.
Yeah,
they
I saw that
in the book. They were concerned about oxidized cholesterol. They weren't worried about the Avidin and the issue and stuff like that with biotin. It was more about the oxidized cholesterol, and told Peter to eat them raw. And that's why Peter started using quite a few raw eggs in some of his milkshakes.
I had three this morning for breakfast.
The recovery time that they told Peter, they even with their biopsies, they said whether you're on steroids or not on steroids, they believed that the muscles needed 72 hours. And Peter structured his routines all around a lot of this information that he learned. I thought that was very interesting.
What else did you learn from that experience, Peter, with those clinicians?
One of the most important things that I learned was that wasn't so much the amount of anabolics that was the big concern that everyone, just as Randy said about the cholesterol thing, it wasn't the amount of anabolics that they were so concerned with, like the sporting industry was and the Olympic Committee was concerned with, as it was what do you do when the opposite starts to happen? In other words, what happens when you start feminizing? You know, what do you do when your natural androgen subsides and your estrogen goes through the ceiling and you're taking your synthetic anabolics and, you know, you start growing nipples and you start, you know, that kind of stuff. What happens? So what I experienced in the early 70s, I had just started anabolics, I think in 1969 or 1970 was my big year of steroid, 70, then into 71, and then into 72, and 73. Just keep upping the dosages. They said once your receptor sites shut down, you couldn't reopen them.
Right.
Well, the Russians believe you could stretch them. You can, yeah. And that's what we were doing with that extra from 3,000 to 10,000 milligrams.
Right.
It was forcing those receptors to stay over, forcing anabolic activity. And I was amazed. The thing that amazed me most, to answer your question, was in the early 70s that Clomid and Novadex were so important in knocking estrogenic levels down. So I didn't go through that problem of any of that secondary female characteristics that other bodybuilders were going through because of the hormone use.
Right. Right.
It was something I learned, and I never passed it on to the public until really till Randy's book, specifically because you know, I just went from, I transitioned so quickly from competitive bodybuilding to using all those contacts to bring the gyms. I've developed a slogan, if you can't come to Gold's Gym, we'll bring, you know, if everyone can't come to Gold's, we'll bring Gold's to everyone.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it was a good
mantra.
We'll
be covering that in Volume 3. Peter and I are going to hopefully do a lot of talking about that transition of Gold's into the 80s in Volume 3. Peter, I wanted to mention, I was aware of Peter 39 years ago. One of my first magazines I bought was 1972, and Peter had already competed in the 71, the 72, and the 73 Mr. America shows. And I saw him in 1972, and he was already, I looked at him and I thought, this guy's huge. Like, he's huge. Like, compared to the other, how come he didn't win? I didn't know everything about bodybuilding at the time, but I just thought, I was already aware of him back then. And like, he was bigger than the Arthur spotted Peter as well. And when Casey won, there was a phone call, I think, to Darden and Jones. And Jones was saying, yeah, Casey won, but he said Peter was very, very big. Very broad in the shoulder. And Arthur was impressed with Peter. That's probably why Peter, one of the reasons Peter ended up down there with Arthur for a little bit.
Yeah, we should definitely do that interview next. Talk about, you know what? I never knew anything about Arthur Jones. I've used a lot of his equipment. I've heard his name before. But, I mean, the guy really was a unique character in this life. Yeah. And it's just ironic that he contributed to so many different things throughout his career. So we should do a show about that next, Randy. But anyway, we're coming towards the end of the interview. Tell me something, Peter. Do you have anything you want to plug? You have any seminars coming up? Anything that you want to plug?
No, actually, you know, I've been out of the picture since I sold Gold's, and I really don't even have a website up. And I was contemplating on doing something, but there's really no way to touch base with me. I just sold a place in Hawaii, and I live in California part time. I live here in Florida at several different places part time.
Right.
The Caribbean and near Cancun, down near Tulum.
Peter has done well.
Yeah, it's obvious. He was, you know, for a guy who slept under the boardwalk for a while. He's a real. He's an American success story when you really think about it. That's a whole different interview right there. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I know you don't do these interviews. You know, I want to thank you first of all for coming on and talking about this sort of stuff.
Well, I don't mind it. I'm not plugging myself particularly, and it really sets me with a nice buffer between me and the public. And I don't really want to get back into business, but on the other hand, this is so comforting to touch base with everyone. It's like going to the Olympia Expo. I see all the old friends again, I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old now, and you know, me and my wife have been together about 13, 14 years now, and so we've got our children, and you know, we take off on our boat and go different places around the world.
Are you gonna be at the Arnold this year by any chance, Peter?
I don't think so, because I'll be going back to California in March. I just tore my retina. Me and Randy got a lot in common now. Yeah. I'm good blind guys.
That's funny.
Randy's gonna give me some points of view here in the next day or two for sure.
Yeah.
I'm open to your show. I mean, I really probably won't talk to other people, but I really am open to your show, and I'm open to any books that Randy wants to do. And you know, you guys are great, and I know what you're doing is helpful to society and the whole sport in
general. We'll definitely have you back on. We'll definitely have you back on. There's no doubt about it. And Randy, you know, you'll be back on sooner than you want to be, most likely.
But at least right now you're not in the midst of writing, so I don't have to feel like I'm interrupting you from something.
Well, I'm trying now. I'm starting to get into it. Right now I'm just doing this, some interview stuff, but I want to get writing into Volume 3.
You know, for those of you who haven't cracked open a volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, it's the most amazing thing about Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors is you cannot find this information. Randy has spent years compiling conversations, emails, and then like this delicate web of time, he chronologizes everything. Chronologizes? No.
Don't make me try to say that.
Okay. But he puts everything in the timeline order where you have conversations and things taking place that are running parallel to each other. And Randy takes it and webs it together so you see what influences these things had on each other. You know, when you're reading Randy's book and you go, you read something that's astonishing, and then you see in very, very small print next to it, email 2011 or phone call 2008. It's like, oh, my God, this is stuff that you can't find anywhere because Randy is the only one gathering it. So if you have not read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors yet, I promise you, I said this through the first volume. I'll say it again to volume 1 and 2. Buy them. If you don't like them, I will reimburse your money personally. The best books I've ever read, and they have contributed to the direction of this show dramatically. Listen, Peter, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Very welcome. Very welcome. It's an honor for me to touch base with my old friends again.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, Randy, thank you for being on the show today. Okay, and
we'll talk again soon. Peter.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. Please get a copy of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors by visiting randyroach.ca. And also we want to thank Brooks Kubik for coming on during the first hour and talking about amazing feats of strength in the overhead press from back in the day. Check out his website, brookskubik.com. We'll see everybody. Tomorrow is Friday, so that means we have Casual Friday. Elisa is already feverishly working on a great episode. We'll talk to you tomorrow.